as we feast at your table. Amen. Amen. Be seated, men, if you can. Good morning. What an awesome, awesome occasion this is. We've said that this is a memorial for 50 years of Royal Rangers, and it's actually a dual memorial because this is also marks the end of a almost 16-year journey called transition, where we have gone from where we were to where we are now to something that encompasses the old and the familiar but is also brand new. It's enough of a change that we now call it Rangers 2.0. It's a whole new operating system. And if you've taken time to read my letter in the front, nobody reads those letters, right? Let me see. Anybody ever read those? Okay, a few. I've said that a memorial is not an easy chair that you're supposed to construct and then sit down on and take your ease. It's rather to mark something in your past that you look back on in future times to remember. And I'll do it a little more formally in my president's report in just a little while, but there's no doubt in anybody's mind from the remarks that we've heard throughout this council from the other members of the national staff as well as members of the executive committee and the administrative staff at headquarters. They are 100% behind Royal Rangers and what we're doing, mentoring new men. They support Doug Marsh unequivocally. So rest assured that we're on the right track, men. We lost some ground, I think, for a little bit, but we're going to gain it back. We're going to take back what he stole from us. Amen. And we're going to multiply it. And we're going to see it explode. I hope to challenge you this morning so that you'll see yourself in a whole new light, perhaps a light that you've never really fully comprehended the expanse of it and the greatness and the magnitude of it. You know, there's an old movie out, Tears of the Sun. How many have seen it? You know the premise, but in the trailer, it concludes, and well, the long and the short of the story is a team of Navy SEALs were sent in to rescue this doctor because the rebel forces were getting ready to overrun the village, and they were pulled out, were only room just to take the doctor, and this team of Navy SEALs, they go say, we're going back in, and we're bringing all of the villagers out, because if we don't, they will be victims of genocide. They will be killed or massacred. And so the concluding banner that comes up says, the lives of many rest in the courage of a few. And you know, Doug yesterday made an analogy, and I'll make one just quickly this morning from my movie trailer. That's almost a picture of Jesus, because the lives of all mankind rested in the hands of one man, Jesus. Praise God. He came through. The lives of those men were, villagers were saved because of a few good men. Our lives were saved because of Jesus Christ. And he died so we could be free. We could be a winner. We could be our best. We could be all that he wanted us to be. We could be restored to the relationship with God that was lost in the garden. You're a warrior. You are a warrior. God wants men to be strong inside and out so we can help others, so we can carry the message of salvation to a lost and dying world. He frees us from our sins if we let him. Look over here. Tell me, does anybody know this guy? Anybody know who this is? How many know who that is? His name is Ben Wade. He was he's been a participant in Survivor for several different episodes. The most recent was Survivor South Pacific. But in the show, he went by another name. Who knows that? Coach, but another one. You see, Ben Wade knows something about himself. He knows he's a warrior. He knows he is a dragon slayer. And he makes no doubt about telling people, I am a dragon slayer. As a matter of fact, he even convinced a little wimpy guy on Survivor South Pacific by the name of Cochran that he too was a dragon slayer. Now, in the first episode, poor old Cochran, he is about the, I don't even have words to describe what he was, but he was not an example of manhood, okay? By the end of the show, the series, old Ben Wade's got him convinced that he too is a dragon slayer. And you know what? That desire to be a dragon slayer, to stand and to fight, comes from God himself. That is something that we are born in. It was created in us. We cannot help who we are. God made us that way. Our God is a warrior. If you don't believe that, just check this out. Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Psalm 24:8, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Jeremiah 20:11, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. Hallelujah. The heart that you have to war and win is inside of you. It's there already. That came from God. And if you don't believe that that's inborn into a man, take a child that his parents say, well, our son's not going to play with guns. He kills his buddies with his finger or a stick. Put two sticks on the ground and have two boys walk by, and what's going to happen? There's going to be a sword fight to end all sword fights. It's there. What do girls do when they get together? Boys, they play cops and robbers or whatever they play today. What do girls do? They have a tea party, right? We're built different. We're different. We are warriors. God created us to be a warrior. The heart you have to war and to win in life comes from God. He wants you to be a winner. Battle tested. Here's the neat thing. Each time you win a victory, you get stronger. Your character develops. You're ready to win bigger victories. Go on to other battles and to win them. You know, battle after battle after battle. When a guy is going to enter weightlifting competition and he begins training, guess what he does not do? He does not put 500 pounds on the bar and try to bench press it. He builds up gradually, so his strength gets stronger, and that's the way it is with our character. As we face battles with God at our side, and we win battle after battle after battle, we get stronger and stronger and stronger. Say it with me. I'm a warrior.
I'm a warrior.
Amen. You are. Guess what? You have an enemy. Else, why would we be warriors? Wouldn't need to be a warrior if we didn't have battles to fight. Here's the reality. He's got lots of allies on his side. And he sends them forth to make war. And we're going to look at that. Peter says that we have an enemy out to get us. He goes about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it to the absolute fullest. How many want all that God has got for us? Amen. His plans for you are perfect, but Satan stands to try to block every attempt that you make to take advantage of what God's got for you. Evil stands between you and good. Make no doubt about it. It's the reality we live in. You've got an enemy, you're a warrior. You've got the same warring heart God has. He's powerful. And he wants to share that power with you, and he wants you to use that power to win victories. You've got a Father who is eternal and infinite, all-powerful. He knows everything. He's present everywhere. He has no limits. He has no equal. He's our leader. He's our source. Now, if we're going to go into battle, any good battle plan comes out of some reconnaissance, a little bit of recon. Dennis, some force recon work, or Navy SEALs, whoever. Go in to find out a little bit, as much as they can, about the enemy. Satan is none of those things. He's a created being. He is not omniscient, omnipresent. He's nothing. He's limited by what he can do. He is a fallen being, and his intentions are always bad. Make no mistake about it. So every good leader, every good warrior learns as much as he can learn about his enemy before he engages him. Absolutely. Our story starts in Genesis 1:1. But God's story starts from time immemorial. We don't know when he created angel beings. All we know is that he created them sometime before Genesis 1:1. And you know the story. These angels, they served him. They did everything they could do. But there was one special angel. He served God. He was around God all the time. He was the guardian of God's glory, and his name was Lucifer. Now, he was the biggest, the handsomest, the most powerful of all of the angels. Undoubtedly, God shared his plan with him. Said, Lucifer, in a time, I'm going to create another set of beings, only these won't be like you. They will have something called a free will, and they will choose to worship me. They will worship me out of their heart because they desire me, not because I created them to do that. Lucifer was thinking, man, that's awesome. Wow. I'd like to have that worship myself. And so he convinced a third of the angels to rebel against God. And there was a war in the heavens. And a third of those angels were cast down. And they are running around today as fallen angels, demons. What a mistake, thinking they could win a war with God. Well, later on, just as God said he would, he created earth, placed mankind in the garden, but he never intended that we should be just numb-minded robots to follow him. So he put a test. He said, Adam, everything that's here is yours, except this. Now, Adam, notice this. This is the most beautiful, the most desirable of everything else that's here. Everything else pales in magnitude to the beauty of this. This is a temptation that you must resist all of your life or you will die. Our enemy comes to them, and you know the story. Did God say you would die? That's crazy. You won't die. The reason you can't eat of that tree is because then you'll be just as smart as God. What happened? Eve looked and it was good. And so she ate. She rebelled against God. Satan uses that same tactic over and over and over again today. I can live my life without God directing every facet of it. I am perfectly capable of making the right kinds of decisions. Not so. Not so. Well, Adam and Eve knew they had made a grave mistake, so what'd they do? They hid. Sometimes today, when we make mistakes, we try to hide. It's to no avail. You can't hide from God. Satan was smiling. He'd accomplished his mission. He'd made enmity between God and man. But God would never give up. The Old Testament is a story of mankind trying to reconcile to God futilely. Didn't work. The New Testament opens a whole new horizon. God himself comes down and dwells among us. makes the sacrifice for our sins so we can restore that relationship, so you and I can walk in the garden with him on a daily basis and we can feel his breath on the back of our neck as we commune with him. No need to hide. We have a God who loves us and wants the very best for us. So when you choose to follow God, the closeness and the mystery of the garden is restored. That relationship is restored. You are just as close to God as Adam and Eve were. Think about that. Makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. Well, we know where the devil came from. Let's talk about what happens to him in the end. We know the story. He's cast into the lake of fire. But he's got a battle plan. Let's learn a little bit about his tactics so we can learn how to counteract them. He uses two primary weapons to trip you up. Number one is accusation. That's his main weapon. He wants to create just enough doubt in your mind about things so that you'll begin to maybe think about his half-truths, which a half-truth is a lie. No question about it. So he'll accuse God of holding out on you. So-and-so's got better than you. If God loves you, how come you don't have that? How come he gets to drive a Cadillac and you got to drive a rusted out F-150? They'll also accuse those in authority over you of holding out on you. They're not giving you your due. You're not getting what you want. He'll try to create enmity, but the main thing he'll do is he'll accuse you. He'll say you're just faking it. Those thoughts that you think, those aren't godly. A good godly man wouldn't even think those thoughts. So he uses accusation. He also uses condemnation as his other tactic. Condemnation is the shame and the guilt that we feel after we sin. Condemnation is the voice of Satan say, aha, see? You worthless slime. You're not God's child. You're just a worthless sinner. Give it up. Conviction is the voice of God's Holy Spirit. Conviction is the voice you hear before you sin. Condemnation is the voice you hear after you sin. And isn't it interesting that the one that tempted you, Satan, your enemy, is the first one to accuse you? Aha! Gotcha. Yeah. Romans 8:1 reads, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God says, hey, dude, yeah, you stumbled and fell, but get up. It ain't over. Get up. Hey, you dropped the baton, but pick it up. You can catch up and get ahead. Try again. Keep going. Keep running. Well, we got to have a battle plan if we want to fight back and win. It might sound impossible. Satan's been doing this for a long time. You say, I've only been here, in my case, 69 years and 10 months. What would I know about fighting against somebody that's been battling for 6,000 years or more? Well, there are some things that we need to do in our battle plan. Apart from a good, strong relationship with God, we don't stand a chance, but we've got to choose friendship and relationship with God over friendship and relationship with the world. Part of having that loving relationship is knowing and being confident that he'll do just what I said he'd do. He will forgive you when you sin. He'll encourage you to pick you back up, to make you stronger, to develop your character, to make you a stronger warrior. We got to stand guard and be alert. His intentions are to take you out. Make no mistake about that. He can't do anything to hurt God except kill his kids. It's the only thing he can do. So you are Satan's vehicle of vengeance toward God. Make no mistake about that. Now his the way he infiltrates us is familiarity. Everywhere we look, if we look close enough, we'll see his mark. We can go to the movie theater and we'll see his mark. We can turn on the television, we'll see his mark. We can sit in a classroom in our colleges, our high schools, our universities, and we can hear his voice. He is everywhere. He wants to become so familiar that we don't even recognize what he's doing. About 20 years ago, I went to a seminar that Rick Warren was conducting, and one thing he said of peculiar interest to me was it only takes 30 days for an eyesore to become unnoticed. He was talking about, you know, building your church congregation, and I thought back to our church, which at one time had been a pretty new building, and we had a set of doors that were supposed to have crash bars, but they didn't put them on, and we couldn't put latches on them. And I said, well, just temporarily, being a good Royal Ranger commander, Pastor, I'll fix that with some rope. 10 years later, the rope was still there. I can imagine what people coming into our church thought, oh, hey, look, cool, they got rope on their doors, you know. So an eyesore, familiarity, pretty soon we don't even notice that Satan uses familiarity. Be alert. Do not let your defenses down. Be on the lookout. Be aware. Look for him. People say don't run around thinking Satan's hiding behind every bush. Guess what? He is. Be careful. God has perfect adventures for you to live. Adventure develops your character. Adventure develops your character. We've got to know Satan's tactics. We've got to follow his orders. Where do we find out his orders? In his word. We've got to become familiar with his word so we know what our battle plan is. And when we do that, we build our lives on a foundation that is solid. It will not falter. It will never crack. Never yield ground to Satan. Never give him a foothold. Never give him an opportunity for the slightest thing. Do not click on that website. Do not go to that place. Set a high standard. Wear your battle gear. Ephesians 6. Hey, put on your helmet, the helmet of salvation. Put on your bulletproof vest. Do right. Fear nothing. Live life the way God wants you to live. Put on the belt of truth. Truth is your belt. You have to speak the truth, live the truth. A lie promises safety and protection, but all it does is dig a hole. A lie can never deliver protection. Truth protects you from shame and embarrassment. Boots. The purpose of human warfare is to destroy, and boots carry you to places where you stand upon the destruction. Your boots carry you to places of victory where you've helped others win the battle. Hallelujah. God wants those around you to be better off because your boots carried you into the battle. The shield. Faith is knowing that God, the one that you can't see, will always come through for you. That's faith. Fear is being afraid of everything you can't see, fearing that it will harm you. Faith in God protects you from fearing Satan. Then you have a weapon. God's word is our weapon of choice. Hallelujah. Satan's the father of lies. He attacks with lies. He attacks with half-truths in the form of accusations. God's word protects you from Satan's lies. Our communications. Prayer is our communication device. We talk to our commanding officer through prayer. We have a constant line. We don't have to dial up. We don't have nothing to do. It is an unbroken line of communication. We can know in an instant. Prayer will always protect you from going into battle, blind and unaware. Then I like this last one, the band of brothers. God doesn't want you to fight alone. He wants you to fight with others. Of course, you're never alone. He's always with you. But he wants you to go into battle with others. Look at this band of brothers around you. Turn to the guy next to you and say, hey, brother. Amen. We're still talking about a battle plan. In the heat of battle, soldiers will combat veterans will tell you they never felt really courageous in battle. There is so much confusion and everything going on. They felt vulnerable. They felt weak. Of course, acts of heroism come out of that. So they have to trust in their training. They have to say, I've been taught how to react to this. I can carry this out. I can do that. Remember, you're not alone. The common lie in our society suggests that you're just broken and just following after Jesus is foolishness. Now, if you want to follow after Allah, that's okay. Follow after Jesus? You know, society is, Satan, through just various things in our society, perverts everything that's good and turns that into bad and take everything that's evil and tries to paint it as good. We have to be aware. We're not alone. Let's look at passivity and abusiveness. Adam chose to be passive. In Romans 3:6, when Eve was standing there and the serpent was talking to her, guess what? Adam never said a word. He just stood there. He did not come up and say, "Hey, shut your mouth, you dirty liar." He didn't do nothing. He just stood there. And then Eve said, "Hey, this was good. Taste it." You know how that goes. Okay. I could go on and on about battles that young men face and what our sources are. We have sources of provision, but I want to just land a little bit on integrity in conclusion. When Adam and Eve were sinned, they were ashamed. And they hid themselves, hoping God wouldn't see them. Perhaps they thought they could live a double life. You cannot live a double life. You have to be who you are, God's child, a warrior for God, when no one's around, as well as when somebody is around. You have to battle for substance over image. So what is your battle? Is it perhaps to stand against sin? Or is it to oppose the devil? Or maybe it's to endure temptations till you get to heaven? No, no, and no. It is to be all God wants you to be. And He wants you to be a great and a mighty warrior. You should be in an offensive position, ready to do battle. You should go on adventure. I've been on adventures. I've written books about my adventures. You can get copies of them out at the Eurasia. Each adventure gets better. Go on adventure. Adventure builds character. Never forget about it. Stand to your feet if you would. I want to conclude with this. Life is for keeps. The lives of our boys are important. Your life is important. Satan is not using rubber bullets. The only way he can get back at God is to destroy his creation, the thing that he loves the most. So we've spoken of war this morning. And so I'm going to ask you to commit right now to fight this battle for the souls of men and boys like you've never fought it before. I'm going to challenge you this morning by throwing down the gauntlet and challenging you to pick it up, to go back into your districts and not rest until every pastor in your district understands that it's Rangers 2.0. It's not an old camping program that nobody will use. There are tools for everybody to use to mentor boys. I want you to vow this morning to do that. Will you do it? I want you in your mind to get down on one knee. Don't do it. But I want to issue you a line from the trailer that Doug showed yesterday, and here it is. I don't have authority to do this on my own, but as God's messenger to do this morning, I have the right to do this. So I tell you, rise a night. Rise a night. Go into battle and fight. Father, we commit our lives to you this morning. Lord, afresh and anew, the challenge that we accepted when we accepted positions of organizational leadership, Lord, those were serious things, commitments. Lord, we've lost our focus in a time of transition, perhaps. We've been fighting deception on the part of the enemy who has gone out even amongst our own and tried to cloud our mission and our vision. But God, we're vowing anew in this morning to take up the battle to get the truth out into every one of our churches and beyond throughout the world to take this good news of Rangers 2.0, a program to monitor, mentor young men and boys. Father, Let that challenge never fall from the very front of our vision. When we rise up in the morning, may it be the first thing. When we lie down at night, may it be the last thing that our mind focuses on. And as we go to and fro throughout the day, Lord, let us concentrate. My mission is to carry the word of a mentoring program to all that will hear. And Father, I pray a blessing on each one of these men and ladies that have consecrated themselves to this task this day, that you will bless them, Father, that everything they lay their hand to will prosper. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, men. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you. Let's give Jim one more appreciation. We love you, Jim. You may be seated. Wow, well, we're going to transition from showing honor to God to showing honor to some deserving leaders. At this time, we're going to start with recognizing some of our leaders who have advanced this year in the organizational leadership track. And as you hear your name called, I want you to come on stage and you'll stand and we'll get you in a row out here. And then at the very end, we will show honor by applause to these gentlemen. At this time, let's hear the announcement. I see some signals from the back there to roll. No, not the video. Yes. See, we can understand each other quite well back there from here to there. But we're going to just call the names of our organizational leaders who have advanced either the bronze, the silver, the gold, or the platinum this past year.
Welcome to the Organizational Leadership Training Recognition. This morning, we would like to recognize the bronze level. From Kentucky, Tommy Lewis. From Ohio, David Morrison. From Georgia, Chris Hand. From Ohio, David Hatfield. Silver level. From Georgia, Chris Hand. From Southeastern Spanish, Carlos Cabos. From New Jersey, Raymond Skinner. From Southern Missouri, Steve Schultz. Gold level. From Northern Pacific Latin America District, Wayne Scott. From Arkansas, Kurt Griffiths. From Georgia, Chris Hand. From Ohio, John Hembry. From Southern Missouri, Jim Allen. Platinum level. From North Carolina, Thomas Firth. From Southern Missouri, J.R. Winry. At this time, we would like to acknowledge those leaders who have earned their platinum level.
Okay, at this time, let's give a show of applause to all of these leaders up here who have transitioned into the organizational leadership levels. Thank you. And you guys may go back into your seats and your lines as you necessary. I'd also like to make sure that I want to mention that the Berean, remember, the Berean is out here, the booth for the Berean School of the Bible. We want you guys to make sure you contact them. They're right next to the Camping Max. Most of these men have been going through that course to get the Berean Royal Ranger certificate. And we want to, again, it's hard work, guys, but we're plugging away as best we can. At this time, I would like, we're going to transition to showing honor in another method, another way. I want to direct your attention to the screen.
I don't even know why they let me on the team.
Did you do your best, son?
I knew I was going to miss it before I even kicked it.
Your actions will always follow your beliefs, David.
Dad, I can't even kick it straight.
And I can't walk. Should I just stay home and pout about it? If you accept defeat, David, then that's what you'll get.
In the middle, you got this.
All right, set it up, run it again.
Sorry, coach.
David, listen, son. You act like you're gonna miss before you even kick the ball. See, we're gonna have to change your whole kicking philosophy. Now, see, you kicking wide left or wide right. But that ain't what's gonna get you home. The ball has got to go through the middle.
I know, coach.
No, no, you don't. Now, what does scripture say about this? Scripture says, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there'll be, they'll find it. Not to us. That's wide left and wide right.
Wow.
But narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life. And few there'll be that find it.
Wow.
Anybody can kick it wide left or wide right. My mama can kick it wide left and wide right. But that ain't what's gonna get you home.
Come on.
It don't have to look pretty. It don't have to look smooth. It can look like a dying duck. But the ball has got to go through the middle.
Oh, my word.
Now, David, you're going to have to choose a narrow way. Because that's the only path where you'll get your reward. Now, send this ball through these pearly posts. Say it up one more time for me, Jonathan.
David, I've never heard it that way before, but there's a lot of truth to what he's saying. See you kick it.
No, we can't run it. That's our only option.
You gotta kick it, man.
David!
I need a 51-yard field goal.
Coach, I can't kick that far.
David, they've been stopping the run and the pass all night. You're my best option.
Coach, the farthest I've ever kicked is a 39-yarder. There's no way I can kick a 51-yard field goal.
I believe you can. Your job is to do the best you can and leave the results up to God. I need you on that field.
Our field goal unit!
Grant, we've got to throw it. He can't kick it from there. It's too far.
No, it's not.
What are you doing?
I'm preparing for rain.
I don't understand this, but with 2 seconds left on the clock, Coach Grant Taylor and the Shiloh Eagles are putting the game in the hands of a 145-pound backup kicker.
This is not a good move on Grant Taylor's part. He even has to kick into the wind.
David! David!
He's not ready, Granny. Don't think he can do it.
I don't have any more timeouts. Call a timeout, Bobby Lee.
This kid can't kick that far.
Call that timeout.
Call a timeout anyway, and let's ice him.
Hey, come here.
David, you telling yourself you're going to miss this kick?
Coach, it's too far.
Listen to me. Do you think God could help you make this kick? Do you believe it, David?
Yeah, if he wants to.
So do I. But you have got to give me your best and leave the rest up to him. Will you do that for me? David, whether you make this field goal or not, we're going to praise him. But don't you walk off this field having done any less than your best.
Can I help you?
Don't touch me. I'm standing for my son.
God, help me make this kick.
Kick it now! Kick it now!
The kick is up. It's on its way. It's long enough. It's high enough. Does it have the distance? It does!
Take the state title for the first time in their history. It's incredible. It's absolutely unbelievable.
You are state champions. You are state champions.
Something to say. David Childers. Don't you ever let anyone tell you that you're under par, second rate, or inferior. I just watched God do a miracle through you. I saw a field of giants, 85 of them to be exact, fall in defeat. Now you tell me what's impossible with God.
Nothing, Coach.
This time, we would like to introduce to you a group of giant killers. The David Childers, who are relying upon God to carry the message of Rangers 2.0 to the field. We can all relate with this, can't we? Somewhere along the line, we have to face struggles. We have to face the idea that, you know, I'm just not sure I can do this. Opposition. Self-doubt. But once again, God is our source. And we have a group of men in this organization who we want to show honor to. And we're going to give them a gift this morning. And we're going to start with, I will be announcing the regional coordinator. And he'll come forward and he will announce his team that is taking Rangers 2.0 to the field. And to start, we will start with Jim Barger from the great region of Great Lakes.
Okay, from the Illinois District, accepting for District Director Tom Kestel and his former District Director Don Weber from Illinois. And from Indiana, it's District Director David Smith. From Kentucky, District Director Gilbert Kirby. From Ohio, District Director Harry Hunt. And from Michigan, District Director Scott Donald.
And next, from the Gulf region, David North.
From the Arkansas district, Butch Charles. From the Louisiana district, David Cron. From the Mississippi district, Bruce Pepper. From southern Missouri, Jerry Millhauser. And the new district director from Tennessee, Ron Bush.
From the Northeast region, we have Dwight Walters.
From the New Jersey district, Elwood Cutler. From the Northern New England district, Kendall Sperry. From the New York district, Steve Monez. From the Potomac district, Bobby Basham. From the Pendel district, Greg Scott. From the Spanish Eastern district, Luis Velasquez. And from the Southern New England district, for Chris Vincent, Brent Maracle.
And we're going to make a slight adjustment here for the North Central region, Rick Scott.
If I fall down, God to help me up, right, Jim? From the Iowa district, Wayne Farron. From the Minnesota district, Rick Scott. From the Nebraska district, Tom Bruno. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it, man. And for the North Dakota district, accepting for Jonathan Squires, David Sundin. Northern Missouri District, Gary Raleigh. For the great state of South Dakota, accepting James Dye. James. This is out of order, but I just want you guys to know that this is one district that this man right here and his dad, how many's been to South Dakota? How many knows a long ways across there, not very populated? He's done amazing work. Keep South Dakota in your prayers, and thank you, James, for the work you're doing. Thank you. Wisconsin, Northern Michigan, Gene Morrison, and accepting Jerry. Jerry, everybody. I think we're done. Thank you. Thank you for working.
From the Northwest region, Dave Franklin.
And from the great state of Alaska, accepting for Art Brindell is Dwayne Fick. From the Montana district, accepting for Pastor Randy Lindgren, Terry Campbell. From the Northwest district, Ken Gray. God bless you, buddy. And from the Oregon district, Big Bob Killen. And from Southern Idaho, Stephen Hackler.
From the South Central region, Jonathan Trower.
From the Kansas District, Keith Fickner. New Mexico District, Bart Garrison. South Texas, Jason Bone. From the West Texas and Plains District, Larry Huakas. From the Texas Gulf Hispanic District, Joe Reese. From the South Central Hispanic District, David Lara. And accepting on behalf of Marvin Lempke for Oklahoma District, Doug Collins.
For the Southeast region, Les Barr.
All right, Alabama District, Bubba, no, John Robinson. He said he dared me. Georgia District, Derek Goodwin, Bubba, no. North Carolina District, Brady Allen. Penn, Florida District, my home district, Doug Moon. Soon to be Reverend. He didn't want me to do that. I believe that's Puerto Rico out there, Javier Chavez. Southeastern Spanish District, Alan Vega. South Carolina District Director, Michael Keyes. And West Florida District Director, Michael Simmons.
Southwest Region, Mike LaLiberty.
From Northern California, Nevada, Philip McWilliams. From Northern Pacific Latin District, Wayne Scott. From the Rocky Mountain region, Arden Harms. From the Southern Pacific District, Demas Flores. And from the Southern California District, Tim Bruder.
We're not done. I'm going to call some names of our denominational leaders. Okay, you're going to do. Okay. Congregational Holiness, Robbie Simmons. Church of God, I'm just going to go through my list here. Church of God Representative James Overton. International Pentecost Holiness Church, David Moore. Pentecostal Church of God, Joe Skiles. Pentecostal Free Will Baptist, Jerry Barnes.
Would you please raise a rousing applause in this building? Just tear the place down. It's showing your appreciation to the district directors, the finest in the nation and around the world. Thank you, district directors. Thank you. We have the greatest regional coordinators. Amen. Thank you, each and every one, for your tireless efforts. You are heroes, truly. So thank you so very much for all that you do. You work to provide for your families, and then you provide for those who don't have spiritual leadership in their own homes. That is the definition of manhood. It is using your strength to benefit others, and you do that so very, very well. So thank you, each and every one of you, for your commitment to Rural Rangers. God is good. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. One more comment on the organizational leadership training. Those of you who were recognized at the very beginning, congratulations. It's a lot of work. You're doing very well. We have Laura from Berean right out here next to Camping Max. Please make your way out there. Visit with her. She will inspire you. She'll answer all your questions. Keep on that journey of growth. You know, there's one thing that will last for eternity, and that is God's Word. It will absolutely last for eternity. And so studying God's Word will benefit you now, and it will benefit you for all eternity. So we make no apology for our partnership with Berean, and we challenge you to take those courses. It will make you a better man, it'll make you a better Christian, and it'll make you better for eternity. And that's a win, 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 win all the way around. Amen? So congratulations again. Would you express admiration, if you will, to those who are studying the organizational leadership training courses. Thank you. This morning, it is my distinct honor to recognize a couple that means a lot to me personally. We don't often single people out, but Roger and Barbara Hebner, if you would please join me on the platform. They are the caretakers at Camp Eagle Rock, and they will be retiring in the month of August following Camp Arama, and they have served for many, many years at the campground and have served each and every one of us so well. Would you raise your hand if they've changed a flat tire for you? Because Roger and Barbara both have this incredible servant heart. They go above and beyond, and they don't approach the job of serving at the camp as just, you know, a 9-to-5 thing. It's 24/7, all on, all the time. And we just love and appreciate you, and we regret that we can't just clone you. And and if we could, we'd even shave a few years off just so, you know, for whatever good reason, not that you need it, because you have more energy than I do. And but we love and appreciate you so very much. The servant heart, the all-on commitment that you demonstrate week in, week out, month on end, year in and year out is just, it's really something that I admire. And beyond that, your spirit is just something that we want and we like at the camp. You have contributed to the heart and soul of Camp Eagle Rock, and we love you deeply. We really, really love you. And it is our privilege to present to each of you a special commendation, the National Royal Rangers Lifetime Service Medal. It is hereby presented to Roger Heppner of the Southern Missouri District in recognition of many years of service and leadership in the Royal Rangers ministry. Your dedicated commitment to the service of others is an example of the fundamental principles and ideals of the Royal Rangers ministry. Through your skills as a leader and your tireless efforts, commitment, and your faithfulness to God, you have been a tremendous asset to the Royal Rangers ministry in its mission to evangelize, equip, and empower the next generation of Christ-like men and lifelong servant leaders. It is therefore with deep appreciation and admiration that I present to you the National RRA Lifetime Service Medal, March 15, 2012. Thank you, Roger.
Love you, man. Thank you. I love you.
And Barbara, you are not an extra on this team. You are a vital member of the team. And so for that reason, it's my privilege to also present to you a Lifetime Service Medal. Thank you so very much for your dedicated commitment to Camp Eagle Rock. We love you.
Thank you, Barbara.
There's more. Roger and Barbara, following our dismissal for break, will be out at the VIP booth, and I would invite you to go out there and give them a big hug and let them know how much you love them. Right now, however, we have one more presentation for you. You have invested your life at Camp Eagle Rock, and I know that you will be retiring somewhere just to the east of here. And so we expect you to show up every year at conference. We know Roger volunteered long before at Eagle Rock, before he ever got the job at Eagle Rock, so he'll continue to volunteer there after he leaves. Amen? Where's the sign-up sheet? But we don't want you to ever fail to remember the years you spent and invested there and the eternal impact you've made at Camp Eagle Rock. So for that reason, we commissioned a special painting for Fred to prepare for you to place in your home. And so it is our privilege to unveil this painting for you. So we hope... So we hope that you'll find a place in your home for that. And anyone who would like to have a copy of this, you may pick them up at the Ranger store for $10 a piece. And we'd invite you to also adorn your home, but they get the original. So would you express one more time your appreciation for Roger and Barbara? Thank you so much.
When we're preparing all that, I said the whole goal is to make Roger a babbling mess, and I think I am too. It's just been a joy working with you guys, and they have a great heart. It's been my honor to serve with them. They're the best. Now I gotta get through these announcements. Okay. Get your composure, Jim. All right, here we go. Don't forget to just do stop by and see Roger and Barbara. If you have something for them, just stop by. The VIP booth right outside here, they'll be out there. Don't forget to pick up, if you were one of the award winners last night at BGMC, get your gift certificate out there. It's for good for Fred Deaver's store. And pick up your BGMC buckets. I know David and Marshall, they don't want to take those back to Springfield, so take them to your churches and fill them. That's for sure. Let's see here. What else? I think, postcards. Don't forget the postcards. Be a blessing to fellow Ranger leaders here in Texas. We're so grateful to be in Texas. Write them a note. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Drop them off at the Ranger store. And also, don't forget the birthday gift. People are still getting those in. We have flyers in the Ranger office and also at the camp store or at the Ranger store. So make sure you pick those up at that time. And I think, Glory, that's it. We are 5 minutes early on a break. Enjoy it. Make sure you're back here early. We're going to have fun this next session for Camp-A-Rama. Be here at 9:55. Lord bless you.